This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, the YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. As we, it's amazing with the length of the Eagles season all the way through the Super Bowl and then the week of celebration and a parade that the NFL offseason starts today. I mean, literally today, the NFL Combine gathering begins in Indianapolis. Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni set to speak this afternoon. We'll carry that live on WIP. But this is the start of the offseason. You know, we're a couple weeks away from free agency. This is all going to ratchet up really, really fast as we celebrate a team that brought a championship here, but realize that that team will never be the same again. And some of these guys are going to get poached at free agency probably very quickly. I was looking at a list yesterday, NFL.com's top 101 free agents. And the number three player, the number three overall player available at free agency was Milton Williams, a guy I don't think we gave enough credit to how good he became this season, and then it hit us like a ton of bricks, title game, Super Bowl, that he was that good. And I think it's going to shock some people how much money that Milton Williams gets in the open market. It wouldn't surprise me if he's in the $20-plus million per year range with his age, his profile, what he just did in the big stage. So I think there's a real significant chance the Eagles are going to lose Milton Williams, which is why as the combine starts, you know, when a team is like the Eagles coming off a Super Bowl, picking number 32, the combine holds a little bit of a different weight than it would, let's say, if the Eagles were picking in the top five, top 10, and we were watching these players closely. It's talking about quarterbacks and all that. It's just a different kind of talking cycle and even just like fan cycle heading into the combine. This week will be more about free agency. It'll be about, you know, will the Eagles get involved in the Myles Garrett sweepstakes? It'll be about, you know, is Matthew Stafford going to get traded? And if he does it affect the Eagles? You know, him not being on the Rams certainly affects the Eagles. The Rams were the team that were closest to beating the Eagles in the postseason, but where does he go? Is he going to end up in the AFC, less out of the Eagles, you know, range of outcomes where they could see him, or is he going to end up with the New York Giants in the NFC East, which would set up a division? I mean, you rank him however you want, but the division would involve Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford. It's as good of a quarterback division as you could have right now in the NFL. So that's going to be a big storyline this weekend. A smaller storyline is going to be the actual players that the Eagles are watching because they pick 32. They are the best team. So there's less of that like, hey, they need this, they need that. But to sustain success or to set up the next Eagles Super Bowl champion, well, this draft is a huge one. I go back to 2018 when the Eagles were coming off of the Super Bowl they won with Nick Foles and they had the 32nd pick in the draft. Two things stand out all these years later. One, they traded Lamar Jackson. Like, they traded the pick that could have been Lamar. And I know in the moment, with Wentz off an injury and Foles just win the Super Bowl, no one was thinking about a quarterback that, at that point, let's be real, was a project that had to be brought along in Lamar Jackson. That being said, it would have been a darn good pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. Also with that, when they traded down with the Baltimore Ravens, they did accumulate a heck of a draft class in 2018, and without that draft class, they don't win the 2024 title. That draft class, of course, involved Josh Sweat. It involved Dallas Goedert. It involved Jordan Mailata. Avante Maddox was here for this one. He made the bat away in the second half of the game. But really, those three, Goddard, Mailata, and Sweat, helped the Eagles win a Super Bowl championship 6 years later. So, you know, will this class help the Eagles win next year? Yeah, sure. Will they help them win the Super Bowl in 2020-2031? I mean, they could. They could, based on the precedent we just had. So it's every draft class is huge. It's the lifeblood of a team. And in this particular combine, you know, when I sit down over the course of the next 3 or 4 days and I tune in, you know, we'll probably watch, you know, I'll see Cam Ward throw, we'll get a sense of, you know, do I think he's going to be an elite guy in the NFL? My guess right now is he's not. Shedeur Sanders, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the receivers, all that kind of stuff. But the position group I'm watching the most closely, and I think the Eagles should be watching the most closely, is defensive tackle. So I believe they're going to lose Milton Williams. I'd love to keep him. I'd love to be wrong on this. But if I had to guess right now, I believe the Philadelphia Eagles will lose Milton Williams in free agency, and he'll go to a team with an abundance of cap space. I haven't even looked at who has the most cap space. I know New England has a ton of cap space available for the coming season. So perhaps it's New England with Vrabel there and trying to turn a corner with a young quarterback. New England holds the most cap space at $125 million. Las Vegas just gave a lot of money to Christian Wilkins, so I'm gonna probably take them out of the mix. I mean, Washington has star defensive tackles. They could move on from some of them and pay Milton, but I think they're going to go more after an edge. Chicago, Arizona is an interesting spot with Jonathan Gannon there and having coach Milton Williams. The Chargers have a good amount of cap room and could add to a really good defense. They're a young team. Cincinnati, though they don't like to pay big in free agency, would make a lot of sense for a player like Milton Williams to pair him with Hendrickson on the defensive line. So there's teams. If I had a guess, I'd say New England, just with the cap space they have, the Arizona trying to turn the corner on defense. Those are good spots for Milton Williams, but I think he's going to go. So that being said, the Eagles need a replacement at defensive tackle, and they like to draft those players in the NFL draft. They like to kind of find their defensive tackles. Look at the rotation this year between Ajomo and Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Milton Williams. And I think big picture, long term, defensive tackle is still a need, because I'm not sold on the idea of the fifth year option for Jordan Davis. So I don't know how much longer he's going to be here. Now, they could decline the fifth year option and re-sign him at a much smaller rate. But based on his snap count, I'm not paying Jordan Davis double-digit millions per year. I just don't think there's the value there for what he gives them. But Milton Williams brought a lot of value. So they need to replicate that. They need to find a secondary pass rusher on the inside to go along with Jalen Carter. And as Jalen Carter gets a little bit older and he gets into his contract time and he becomes, you know, within a couple years, probably the highest paid defensive tackle and maybe defensive lineman, or one of the highest paid defensive players in the NFL, they need someone next to him that's cheaper. So with pick 32 or pick 64, I think there's a real chance the Eagles are going to take the Milton Williams replacement and try to find someone they could pair with Jalen Carter for years to come.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Luckily, and we'll see some of it here at the NFL Combine, luckily, the Philadelphia Eagles are in a good spot, because this year is a loaded defensive tackle draft class. So I was looking at Daniel Jeremiah's top 50 entering the Combine, and I was scrolling through it and just picking out D-tackle, 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 and just kind of going over the names, where they came from, their profiles, and it was starting to pile up to me how many there were, how many defensive tackles. So he listed his top 50, and then he had four at the bottom that had kind of fallen out of his top 50. This time, they were in it last time. So in total, if you look at the most updated Daniel Jeremiah top 50 for the 2025 NFL draft prospects. Again, this isn't a mock draft. It's just a ranking of his top 50 prospects. And then the four that fell out. So in total, 54 names on the screen in front of you. Eight of those 54 were defensive tackles. Eight of the top 54 players, including the top 50, and then the four guys who in this cycle fell out of his top 50, but obviously you could imagine they're the next few guys out in the top 54. Eight of the top 54 prospects in this class are defensive tackles, according to Daniel Jeremiah. I've always valued his opinion. I think he's one of the best out there in terms of talking draft and the players and their strengths and their weaknesses. I feel like more often than not, Daniel Jeremiah, he gets it right, and I listen to him, and then you hear him, and it's like, oh yeah, he said this about this player. You could kind of see the strength, the weakness. So eight of the top 54. Let's go through some of them, because these are the guys that I'm going to be watching this week, whether it be their, you know, often it's easier with skill players, because you go off a 40 time. You'll watch a quarterback throw if they do throw. A lot of these guys don't anymore. Defensive tackles, trench players, it's a little bit different, but you are looking for burst, cone drill, shuttle time, you know, the get off, all that. I mean, obviously, you want strength and size and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sitting there watching. I don't know if they televise the bench press anymore, but, you know, you want someone that brings the full package. But specifically for this Eagles team and what they need next to Jalen Carter, you want a guy that can take advantage of one-on-ones, because Jalen Carter's going to get double-teamed a whole lot. Can this player that they potentially take at 32 or 64, or, you know, if they trade up, trade down, but in that range, take advantage of those guys? So here are the eight. Let me go over the names. These are the players I'm going to be watching most closely and listening to. Do the Eagles have a meeting with them? Are they interviewing them? Which teams are? What range could they go in? And when I click into these mock drafts, and you know what's going to happen over the next 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, I'm going to click on a million mock drafts. So are you. This is what we do as football fans. I'm going to look to see where these guys are going. Let's go through the names. And these are in order, right? These are, I don't have the number. I didn't write the number down. But these are the order, kind of they appeared on Daniel Jeremiah's top 50 NFL.com. You could go find the article yourself and read it. But these are the eight defensive tackles in that top 54. Mason Graham, Michigan. He's going to be a top 5-10 pick. He was the anchor of one of the best defenses in college football 2 years ago when they won a championship, remained the anchor this past year as the defense was still good, but they were obviously a lesser team with so many guys going to the NFL and their offense, really their passing game, went in the tank. But Mason Graham is an anchor of a player, great football player. He'll be way out of the Eagles' range by the time they pick. The next defensive tackle listed was actually the guy that lined up next to him, Kenneth Grant from Michigan. Those two, Graham and Grant, were a great combination. And Grant is more of a run stuffer. He strikes me more of the Jordan Davis role. Next, and this is where I start to think we could, from the third guy through the eighth guy, this is where the Eagles could have a chance. I think, or maybe would have an interest. Mason Grant will be long gone. I'm not sure where Kenneth Grant will go because of the profile. Now, I mean, Jordan Davis went as a top 15 pick. So someone could take Kenneth Grant if they're trying to build a defense with a lighter box and want someone to control it. But here are the names. Like the next, I would say six names are where I really start to look at and say, I could see these guys as Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go to Derek Harmon, Oregon. He's quick. He's disruptive. I thought he was a difference maker. I thought that Oregon team was the best team in the country from September to the beginning of December. I loved watching them play. Dan Lanning is an outstanding football coach. They ran into a buzzsaw, and the second time playing Ohio State, it really hurt them where the bracket was. You know, I'm going off a tangent about Oregon. I like this player, though, and I think he was really an anchor for that defense, and I could see him. He kind of has some of those traits like a Milton Williams. You know, he's quick. He's disruptive. I wouldn't call him the biggest D-tackle on the planet, but he's good. You see, he's 6'5", 310. I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, he's a big, big dude, but more of the, you know, more of, I'm trying to think of the mold. He said 6'5", 310. Yeah, I mean, he's tall. I wouldn't say he's quite DeForest Buckner, but he's tall. A young Cam Hayward is an interesting comp that I saw. DaQuan Jones is an NFL comp by Lance Zierlein. I think these are good. These are good comps. I think he's a definite first-round pick. I think Arizona in the middle of that first round could take him. All right, the next guy up, Walter Nolan, Ole Miss. Twitzy defensive tackle, penetrating style of defense. So they slanted him in their defensive scheme. He had early wins. I mean, he would kind of jump in there and get in the backfield. As a pass rusher, Jeremiah said he gets off the ball. I think he's a name to watch. Joshua Farmer, Florida State. He's big, he's long, he's strong. That's the way to describe him. He's been listed as scheme versatile. And I think that he's the kind of player where he could get better and better as time goes on. Darius Alexander, Toledo. Size, length, athleticism. He did play a little bit inside and the outside. He went to the Senior Bowl a couple weeks ago. He's long, and he is older, sixth-year senior. So that doesn't usually fit the Eagles' profile. They like a little bit younger in some of these players. But look, they're in a spot right now where they're trying to defend a championship. So perhaps a player like Darius Alexander from Toledo fits more. Last couple names, TJ Sanders, South Carolina. I think he's a three-down defensive tackle. Power, pressure, everything. And then Alfred Collins from Texas. And I saw this quote from an NFC personnel director on NFL.com. Quote, he's a legit specimen. With the right coaching, he could end up taking off and becoming the best interior player in this class. That struck me. You know, a couple of these where they talk about if they get the right coaching, like an Alfred Collins from Texas specimen, that strikes me as a Vic Fangio special. You know, Alfred Collins, I don't think he's the 32nd pick in the draft, just based on the value, based on Jeremiah's rankings. But this is one of those, if the Eagles trade down from 32, accumulate an extra pick, you know, I could see him, or, you know, they drop from 32 to 45, pick up an extra pick. Alfred Collins could be the kind of player you take there with the first pick of the draft, kind of like they did when they took Goddard in 2018. So the names, and just these are the beginning. I'm sure there's going to be more names that pop up and jump up boards. But Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, Derek Harmon, Walter Nolan, Joshua Farmer, Darius Alexander, TJ Sanders, Alfred Collins, eight of the top 54 players listed on Daniel Jeremiah's top 50-ish right now are defensive tackles. It is a strength of this draft class, and it could be a huge need for the Philadelphia Eagles as they get set to potentially, and I think very likely, replace a $20-plus million free agent per year in Milton Williams. It's going to be fun. It's not a typical year with the Combine, but the Eagles get to walk in there. Peacock is champions, celebrate a little bit, but get back to work with free agency, gauge the market for their guys, gauge the market for other players, and really start to hone in on what they might draft in the NFL draft. I'm looking at defensive tackle this week at the Combine. I appreciate you listening, subscribing, following the podcast. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.